So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give adoration and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We thank you that we can call you Lord Jesus. We come this morning to adore you for your majesty and your grace. And today, especially as we think about your great love for us, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for your eternal love for the world, that you might give us the opportunity and many, many others in every language, creed across this world to call on the name of Jesus and believe. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year. We pray that you might help us in our homes and our families as we gather to make time to adore the Lord. We thank you for your sweet spirit. We thank you for how you guide us and direct us in all the ways in our life. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have this morning to be together. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship and honor you and sing praise to your name, and then to look at your word so that we might gain guidance and direction for life. So Lord, bless our time now in our fellowship. We adore you, we praise you, we honor you, Lord Jesus. You alone are worthy of our praise and of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Good to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, we're glad to have you. Merry Christmas. We're pleased that you'd come be with us. Come by and see my wife Pat and I after the service. We'd love to have a chance to visit with you. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to find your place in the Old Testament. We go back many hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus to the words of Isaiah the prophet, a very famous chapter in the Bible, where we find an example, I think one of the greatest examples in all the Bible, that describes the great love of God, the eternal love of God shown to this world. And that is the description that Isaiah gives of the death of Jesus Christ, prophesied many hundreds of years before the events happened. This is that great prophecy. Many of us in this room know these words, but I want to take us there and make several observations about them today. Jesus said, he doesn't always get credit for this statement. In memorial services and other places, these words are used in a lot of places. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that. So whenever you hear those words without Jesus being given due recognition, remember, these are the words that Jesus said, and then Jesus backed them up with his own life. So we come today to celebrate. We light these candles to remember these simple words, but profound words about Christmas. What is it that comes with the coming of Jesus? Why, we learned week one, hope. Hope. What is it that comes with the birth of Jesus? Peace. And today, what is it that comes with the birth of Jesus? The love of God is shown. The eternal love of God is expressed in the sacrifice and commitment of Jesus. The cradle had a path all the way to the cross of Calvary. And so today we come, and I hope that as you hear my words and as we look at God's word together, that you'll take some of these words and you'll think about them at this time of Christmas. You know, Christmas can be a real confusing time, distracting time. But for those of us who follow Jesus, it ought to be one of the highest times of worship in all of the year as we celebrate the coming of God in flesh so that we might have the opportunity to have life in Jesus because of his death. So now, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to read these ancient words from Isaiah the prophet. And as you read them, we know there are seven different references in the New Testament where the writers of the New Testament quote these words, some portion or parts of these words in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have, Lord Jesus, to adore you, to praise you, to honor you, and to submit ourselves and our lives to you for the eternal love of God that you revealed and you expressed in dying on the cross. Lord, may we take with us today, may we be deeply moved by your eternal love for us and for your eternal love for this world. Lord, help us to see in that and learn as your followers what it means to love other people. May we recognize your example. And as we say here at the church, we seek to follow you and to love other people like Jesus. May we learn today from your example of loving us and loving the world in all of its unloveliness and all of its wickedness. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, that Jesus loved us. Jesus loved us. But as we read in these words of Isaiah, we quickly see that this one that Isaiah speaks of, we know as Jesus. We know the gospel story, most of us in here. Some of us have heard the gospel story all of our life. But I want to remind you again today that Jesus loved us and he was rejected by the world. Rejection. Look at these words. In fact, before you read verse 3, notice the two questions at the beginning. Isaiah asked the question, you know, I've been preaching since I was 17 years old. I've been preaching a long time. All kinds of places, all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances. Trying to honor Jesus and to preach the gospel. And I have to think about these words. Every time I read these words, I think about it. Who has believed our message? High and low, night and day, week in, week out, we tell people about Jesus. The gospel is preached. It's on the radio. It's on the television. Preachers preach, hopefully, faithfully, the word of God. I've sought to do that my entire life. Who's believed our message? Not very many. Not very many when you count the millions upon millions who've lived on this earth. And Isaiah says the same thing. He speaks about this one who is coming, who suffers for sin. This one who's sent by God. Who has believed our message? I ask today, have you believed the message? To whom has the Lord revealed his arm? You see, the coming of Jesus was the revealing of God to this world, so that there might be a Savior, we might have life. Who has believed our message? the question supposes this answer. Well, some have never received him. They have rejected Jesus. You know, that happens to this very day. I saw somewhere, I don't know, someone was having a conversation with somebody about Christmas, some celebrity or somebody, I don't remember who it was. What caught me was the comment. They said something about Christmas and they had mentioned in this discussion about Jesus, and the fellow said, well, Christmas is not so much about Jesus. Let's just get to Christmas. Now I thought, what kind of a harebrained comment is that? And then I caught myself. That's the way the world thinks. Why, there's no manger, it's a tree. There's no Jesus, there's a giving gifts. There's no celebration of joy and the miracle of the birth of Jesus. Why, it's all about cooking and having a dinner and going to parties. Oh, we read here, and you better read it with me. Pay attention. He was despised and forsaken. Have you ever been despised and forsaken? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You say, Pastor Mike, I've had a really hard year. I'm living in sadness and grief. Friend, your sadness and grief cannot compare with the sadness and sorrow and grief that Jesus took upon himself. The cradle led to a life of sadness and sorrow. He was despised and forsaken, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was someone from whom people ran away and hid their face. He was despised. Isaiah says it so clearly here, the last phrase, he was despised and we did not esteem him. You remember the words in John? John's writing about the coming of Jesus in John 1, and he says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. He came to his own people. And we read the gospel story, and whether it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the lawyers, the scribes, all of those who had looked for all of these promises to come of Messiah, whether it was the crowds and their fickleness, all the rest, they rejected Jesus. They rejected him. I want to read you some words that we don't often think about it when we consider the fact that Jesus was rejected. But in Luke 19, just after Jesus has come into the city of Jerusalem and everyone was shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We read these words in Luke chapter 19, 41. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Jesus now, weeping over the city of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 42, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Isaiah said, we just read it, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Listen to what Jesus said, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up the barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. God has come in Jesus to this world. But the millions upon millions in this world, they reject Jesus and any talk about Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, you will experience the same rejection. Oh, if you stand up for Jesus and tell somebody about Jesus at work or at school, you will experience just a little of what it means to be despised and rejected. You know, when Isaiah spoke these words, he was reminding us of these difficult times of rejection that come. But there's something else here in these words. Jesus loved us. By the way, he loved the people who rejected him. And he loves those who reject him today. Jesus loves us. The second thing I want you to see is this, that he is our sin bearer. He took our sins. You know, I'm speaking these words at Christmas time. They're not new words. Nothing I'm going to say today is new to many of you, most of you here. I look around and glad to see you again this week. I'm glad you're back in worship. Many of you teachers, many of you who know the Bible, these aren't new words, but these are words that the more often we hear them, that we ought to take them to heart. I'm trying to get us today to have something to think about at Christmas that has to do with the profound, eternal love of God for you. You see, Jesus was rejected, but he loved anyway. Jesus loved anyway, even though he was the sin bearer. Now let me go a little bit into this. Look at this in verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore. If you remember with me, we learn in our Bible studies, we learn that the Old Testament primarily is written in the Hebrew language and the New Testament is written for us in the Greek language, and we read an English translation of the Bible. So sometimes it's important for us to understand the words that are translated by certain English words. Surely our griefs he himself bore. Did you see that back in verse number 3? He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Now in verse 4, Isaiah turns it. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. This word bore, I'm reading from the New American Standard. It's a word that means to wear clothing. So Jesus' life was clothed with this responsibility to carry our sin. And so Isaiah says, surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows, yet we esteemed him. God struck him down. He deserved it. Isn't that what they said on Calvary's hill? He was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Did you notice all the pronouns? Our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, our well-being. We are healed by his stripes and by his death. He was pierced through for us. Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ died once for all, the just for the unjust. I want you to remember today, as you go to Christmas, as you meet with your family, as you read the Christmas story, as you think about the coming of Jesus, and we've celebrated over these past few weeks, the coming of Jesus brings hope. The coming of Jesus brings peace. But the coming of Jesus gives us joy and love and hope and peace because someone died in our place for our sin. He is the sin bearer. Look at verse 6. So familiar to us, but yet so profound. All of us, not some of us, all of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused, oh, hear the word, has caused his iniquity to lay on us all. This iniquity that we've all carried in our lives falls on Jesus. In 1 John 4:18, we've talked about this as a church. John says, in this is love. Here's love. You want to know about it? You want to understand about it? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the payment for our sin. So listen to me today. Jesus loved us while he was rejected. You know, it's so good to remember that Jesus is the one who said the words we often learn in our Bible studies and Sunday school classes as little children. These are Jesus' words. Are you listening? For God so loved the world. Who said that? John? No, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We declared it today in our confession as we were confessing scripture that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I come to you this morning to remind you at Christmas time that Jesus loved us though he was rejected. Jesus loved us enough to carry our sins and die for us on the cross. Finally, Jesus loved us willingly. This last one is very important. Jesus loved us willingly. He was not forced by God to do what he did. He came willingly. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted. Please notice these words. It's repeated twice. He did not open his mouth. Like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent. There's a sheep standing, being sheared, making no noise. And here we find these words, and like the sheep is silent before the shearer, he did not open his mouth. Most of us are guilty when we have trouble of complaining about it. Most of us are guilty of opening our mouths and blaming God and being angry toward others. We open our mouths, but I remind you today, if you're born again, your Savior opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 2:23 says, while being reviled, he did not revile. While suffering, he did not utter threats. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Listen to the Bible. So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now that's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. I want you to remember the willingness of Jesus to die for your sins. He said in those great verses in John chapter 10, most of us have learned them, when he talks about being the great shepherd, he says, I lay down my life for my sheep, and no one's taken my life from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up. Jesus willingly laid down and was crucified so that we might have life. Oh, today, as you prepare to go out and celebrate Christmas, as family gathers, as you go and finish up all of what you've got to do, with all the wrappings, with all the gifts, with all the paraphernalia, with all the things that go on, with all the time off and the vacation, remember this. The eternal love of God has been expressed in the coming of Jesus in that cradle, that baby there in that manger, so insignificant in the world's eyes. He did not come as some conquering commander. He came and was born in a manger, submitting himself to all things just like us. Jesus became just like us without sin. And when you consider the eternal love of God, and when you really realize what God has done to save you from your sin, you have no other choice but to do what Jesus did, only it's a reverse for us. He willingly died for our sins. You know what we do now? When we come to discover the love of God, we willingly surrender to Jesus and call him our Lord, and we're born again. You see, the old statement that we've heard all of our life at the Christmas story, for unto us is born a Savior. Listen, finish the sentence. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. So we hear Paul say, if you will confess with your mouth, are you listening? Jesus as Lord, Lord of your job, Lord of your family, Lord of your personal life, Lord of all, Jesus as Lord. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It starts with confessing his lordship, for unto us a Savior is born. We've read about it today. Rejected, he loved. Carrying our sin, he loved. Willingly laying down his life, he loved. Now what do? What have many of us done? Are you listening as I finish? We believe the message. We believe the message. Some of you have never believed the message. You've been coming to church all your life, but you haven't believed the message. Jesus said to a group of Jews who believed on him, you know what the next words he said to those Jews were? He said, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. And that's what we must all do if we would find peace with God. We must be willing to surrender to the Lord, surrender to his lordship, confess him as Lord and Savior, and be willing to follow him and learn to live the rest of our life like Jesus. That's what Christmas time should be about. A new time to dedicate ourselves as followers of Jesus to be like him. So if the Lord would love, even though he's rejected, if the Lord would willingly love others who would not love him, how about us who are a part of his church? We say here is a church. We write it on the top of our bulletin. We declare it's a part of our mission. We're going to follow Jesus at First Baptist Church. And we're going to love other people like Jesus. You know, the best thing for us to do is learn from the example of Jesus to surrender ourselves to the Lord. You know, Peter said that. In 1 Peter, that's what he was saying. He talked about Jesus suffering, and then he said, we must learn the same way. Don't utter threats. Don't try to get even. When you suffer for righteousness, suffer quietly and entrust yourself to God. He'll take care of you. So if you're here this morning and you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you want to believe the message, we'll help you with it. We do this every week. Don't shut down on me. Listen to me. This is important. For some, this is the most important moment in their life, and I mean this sincerely. If you're here this morning and you're far away from God, you know you're far away from God. You know you're living in misery, pain, sorrow, regret, and shame. Jesus Christ has come that you might exchange that for a new way of life and become a new person. But you must be willing to come to the Lord and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Our pastors will be here at the front. We invite people to come publicly because we want to help you to know Jesus, but also because Jesus called disciples publicly. You come publicly to declare that you're not ashamed to follow Jesus. Some of you may be here and you need a place to belong, and this is the place. God's calling you to be a part with us of this church as we seek to follow Jesus, love other people, and tell the world about Jesus. If you have public decisions you need to make at Christmas time, I know no better time to do it. Today, let's leave remembering the wonderful eternal love of God that he has shown to all of us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you grateful, folks? I said, aren't you glad and aren't you grateful? Someone loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Now go out of here and tell somebody this week when they're frowning at the Walmart in the line, God loves you. When that dear person is having to stand there as the cashier, God loves you. This is when we must do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that you teach us from your word, and we thank you for reminding us of these ancient words from Isaiah that picture so clearly the coming of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you came. You came rejected. You came bearing our sin, and you willingly laid your life down. Now many of us, we come back to say thank you, Lord. We've surrendered ourselves to you, but others need to surrender today. And we pray that you might help them to do it in Jesus' name. And whatever public decisions people need to make today, may they make them at this time of the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, from the balcony or below? God's calling you to come. You come on. Our men are here. We invite you to come. Come on.
I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. My every thought. when I call.
Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Every head bowed just for a moment. Thank you for your patience. I want to make sure everybody's had their chance to say yes to Jesus. We wait quietly. Steve's going to sing one more verse. If no one comes, that'll be all. While we pray.
I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
Let's sing it together. He knows my name. Sing it now, church. Come on.
He knows
sing it. He knows my
name.
Sing it from your heart.
He knows my every thought. My every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We hope to see you next week. And tonight our students will be leading us in worship. You don't want to miss it. Hope that you'll be here. Steve, lead us as we go. God bless you.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way.